now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend and can join us over the course of the next hour for our show, which after all is nothing without you because we are an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging your participation. It's very important, needless to say. And we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, and radio, and just about everything else. The number to call with a question or answer, well, at least for right now, with a question, is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. Or we have a toll-free number. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. And we have a full contingent tonight, so we'll take as many of your calls as we possibly can. Try to get on as early in the show as you can, please, because sometimes we do get a little bit backed up at the end. So again, that 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. And use it while you can before they sell off the company. mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. And we don't read the emails during the show, but we do read them. So feel free to get in touch with us if you would like to with any sort of message. If you would like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And since Debbie is here and not only made brownies for us, but also will handle the podcast, it should be done with dispatch after our show tonight and will be available at kalw.org along with some other outlets as well. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. So be patient, those of you who are on the phone. I don't know if they're really, those calls are for us anyway, but in case they are. Jerry Nachman thinks he has a shot at being chosen as John Kasich's running mate, which is very possible.
Yeah, I really think I do have a
same shot he has of running for president.
Yeah. Lori Fisher welcomes May. May, certainly not the cruelest month. It's the last month of the semester for him. And May Day is his favorite anniversary.
It is. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that Donald Trump may not be able to play the women's card, but he certainly has plenty of wives' cards.
All right. And all that being said, we'll start with Jerry Nachman.
Well, we're coming up on Mother's Day.
Well, not for another week.
Next week, yeah.
We're preparing now.
All right. Yeah.
But I won't be here, so I'm...
Okay.
here are the names of two famous mothers. One is Mary Arden, A-R-D-E-N, and one is Anna Jarvis.
Mary Arden. Mary Arden, that was just in the news. I recognize the name. Mary Arden.
So are they known as something like Mother Courage or Mother Teresa?
No, okay. They're known for their own names.
These are real people.
Real people, yes.
Mother McCree.
Mother McCree, yeah. Is one a mother of invention, perhaps?
I just read that name in the last week or so, didn't I? Was that something to do with the currency or women possibly on the currency?
No, that's a good thought.
Mary Arden. This will.
I don't know.
I'll figure it out eventually. Okay. All right. What were your names?
Mary Arden. Who are famous mothers? Mary Arden and Anna Jarvis.
Anna. Are they both still alive today?
No.
Okay.
Long gone.
All right. Anna Jarvis. Again, a familiar name.
Yeah. Somebody in the studio audience knows.
Yeah, somebody.
In our vast studio audience.
They're not telling us, but they may know.
Just keep it down out there.
All right. And Laurie, you go ahead.
All right. Last night was the White House Correspondents Association dinner.
He killed it, by the way.
He did.
He really did.
He did. I haven't watched it all, but he was great.
This was the best ever.
He could be a stand-up comic after he leaves.
If anybody wants to watch it, it's on. The whole thing is on C-SPAN. His performance.
It's worth checking out.
So this whole thing started in 1944. So I think I have three questions. Number one, who were the first hosts? It's always been hosted by show business people. Second one, it started only having one MC in 1968, but it wasn't until 1992 that it was hosted by a woman. So who was the first female comic to host it? So who were the first hosts? They were co-hosts. Who's the first female? And only once since then has there been somebody who wasn't a comedian but a kind of regular performer. Who was that?
So was the first host a comedian?
Yes.
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope with somebody. He's one of them.
Oh.
Yeah, it was
a woman?
No.
So there were
Bing Crosby.
No.
Two
good
men.
Guess. Two men. And both of that ilk, kind of the good MC. 1944. So Hope was one, and the other one is still out there.
Was the other one in movies as well? Radio?
The other one was in everything, I think, and ended up being, I know him from TV.
Milton Berle.
Like that, but not him.
Oh. Okay.
And then we're looking for the first woman, who was 1992, and then the first one who was just a performer, an entertainer, not a comedian at all, and that was 1999.
Well, was 92 Roseanne Barr?
No.
I don't think it was Joan Rivers?
It wasn't Joan Rivers.
Ellen DeGeneres.
All good guesses.
DeGeneres.
Yeah, all of that era, but it's not her.
Is the woman still active today?
Yes.
Huh.
I won't give you any hints because...
A comedian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A funny comedian, unlike some.
Right.
92, mm-hmm. Huh?
A stand-up?
Yeah, a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I think... Does Debbie know? Let's see. It is... Oh, Debbie's guessing Dean Martin for the co-host in 44? No, but a good guess.
A little early for
him.
Yeah.
All right, just repeat.
Anyway, so the White House Correspondents' Dinner started in 44. We're looking who co-hosted. One was Bob Hope. We're looking for his male co-host. A single MC started in 68, and it took until 92 to have a woman who was the first woman MC, and she was a comedian. And then, as far as I could tell, only one host since then was just a performer, an entertainer, not a comedian at all. Mm. Who was that? And that was 1999.
All right.
George Clooney?
Oh, that's a good guess.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Bruno Heights.
Hi, Colette.
What was it that Betty Davis would not agree to do, which caused her costume designers much distress?
Was this for a particular movie or just in general?
No, general, uh-huh.
It would cause her designers, dress designer?
Much distress, yes.
Would she not wear a brassiere?
More specific?
She would not wear underwear?
No, more specific regarding the bra.
She would not wear an uplift bra. this is what Debbie's telling me.
I think, it's wired. Is that a
wire bra?
A wired bra. Is that it? Oh, wow.
That is it,
All right. Give Debbie credit for that.
A woman of principle.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're bellless for the time. Uh-oh. We have to go off the air when we find the bell.
That's all right. Next call, please. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
Yeah. Just been reading an interesting book about perfume. And I wonder if you knew, what was the first perfume, a famous perfume, that was made out of completely synthetic ingredients?
Wow.
They all are now, but this was the first one.
Oh, they're all made out of synthetic ingredients now. Was that what you said?
Yes.
He's looking for the first.
What year was this? Did you have more or less?
Well, I'm not giving you that.
Well, that won't help us.
Yeah, we promise we won't know.
How about one of my favorite names for perfume, My Sin?
No. Earlier than that.
And it's, okay.
Is it 20th century?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Before My Sin. the original Sin.
Chanel number 5.
Correct.
Hey, this is all Debbie in the booth there. Debbie's just knocking them out.
Another question.
Yes.
This is about a very interesting perfume, one of the most famous perfumes in history. It was the Empress Josephine's favorite perfume, and Napoleon also greatly admired it. What was that perfume, and what was the peculiarity about that perfume?
Oh. You mean the name of the product it was made from, or the name of the perfume?
It's the name of a perfume.
Is the perfume...
Name of an ingredient. Actually, it's the name of a flower.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
The perfume was distilled.
Jasmine.
No.
Is it still being made today? Can I buy it?
Yeah, Here's the thing. It's still being made. You can still find it. It is now generally made synthetically, as all perfumes are. It was very, very difficult to get the perfume, so it was very, very expensive, which is no doubt why Josephine liked it. What was it?
Was it because the ingredient was rare? Like saffron?
Yeah, very difficult to turn into a perfume.
Vanilla? Something to do with vanilla?
No.
How about saffron?
No, it's a perfume which is still, today, you smell it. It's
truffle?
A lovely, but it's based on a flower.
Okay. Some kind of fungi.
Mm. A flower.
Based on a flower.
It's not my strong suit.
It's hard to distill.
So the perfumes. Flower did not grow in France, is that
yes, it did.
It did. Oh, it did.
And it was still
it was everywhere.
And it was still
hard. But it was still.
Yeah. And it was Josephine's favorite. Napoleon liked it.
Yes.
That was a rare flower, you say, huh?
Not a rare flower.
Not rare. He said it was common
very
in France.
Very difficult to distill into a perfume, so only the rich could afford it.
How about something with roses?
Tulip.
Oh. No.
Orchids.
No.
I think we give up.
I think we don't know.
Violet.
Oh, okay.
Violet.
Now, what is the quality that violet has which distinguishes from all other perfumes? What is it that is very curious about it? Violet contains a chemical called ionium. What does ionium do that no other perfume does?
Wow. It's flammable.
No.
We have absolutely no idea.
We have, this is not our area.
Not our forte.
Well, it wasn't mine until I read the book. This is it. Ionium is in violet. Ionium anesthetizes the sense of smell. So
wow.
That when you smell violets, it is still true about violets, they smell delicious, and then after a few seconds, you can't smell them. And then a little later, the perfume returns to you.
Weird.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you very much.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's great.
All right.
I now know more about perfumes than I've known in my entire life.
And it's still not much help.
And you still won't remember.
All right. Let's see. I'll give you a couple questions here. According to IMDb, that's the movie database, who are the two most filmed characters of all time? These are both fictional
you
characters.
You ask this about every month, I think.
No. I asked another variation on this.
Yeah.
Who, according to IMDb, who are the two most filmed characters of all time?
So fictional characters.
They're both fictional characters.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I think he's not.
No, Jesus is
fictional.
Actually down the list. Jesus is like number five or number six.
But would he be considered
are these fictional or characters or real characters?
Fictional.
Well, for Jesus, I think Jesus would be a historical character, wouldn't he?
Well,
we'll let their fans.
All right.
Call it okay, but he's not in the top two.
But, let me rephrase that. The top two characters, the two most characters filmed of all time, are fictional.
Okay.
Though on all the characters filmed, you know, Jesus is down.
Sherlock Holmes.
No, he's down the list too.
Huh.
He's below Jesus.
It depends on your religious upbringing, I suppose.
Okay, but
or whatever your proclivity may be.
But is Sherlock Holmes like is a reasonable guess for the kind of person it turns out to be?
It's a reasonable guess.
Yeah.
Hamlet.
No, Hamlet. That's a good guess actually. Hamlet's number 10, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but it seems like somebody who could be in things that many people could use,
right.
Like Sherlock Holmes, seems good.
I will say that the number one on the list has appeared as a character in 848 feature films.
No.
Yes. And number two in 814.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
God. And we'll know a bunch of these films.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah.
One of the Bowery Boys. No, probably not.
No.
Well, the last question like that you asked, the answer was Jesse James.
No, that was a totally different type of question.
What was the question?
That was what Western... No. What the name of what Western star appeared in the most movie titles.
Okay.
Are they both male?
One can be male or female.
Oh. So it could be a mythical beast or an animal?
I don't think I might give you any more.
Oh. It could be. And in the movies, has this both been... Oh, Peter Pan.
That's an interesting guess.
Yeah, but not
that's
right.
That's a very good guess. Yeah.
So just
one could be male or female.
Yeah. One of them
the
could
first,
be male
the transgender
or
hero.
In a way.
Yeah.
So according to the IMDb... who are the two most filmed characters of all time? I should say these two characters are fictional. So,
Is either one a mythological figure? Should we think Zeus, Pandora?
Okay,
not so much.
Tangent-y kind of way, maybe, okay. but not directly. Okay.
How about Santa Claus?
Santa Claus is number two.
Debbie.
Wow.
That's not me. That is Debbie from
Very
the
good.
Booth. She is nailing
Santa
these.
Santa Claus, 814. Very good.
And he's second.
Yeah. Okay, second question. I found this out the other day, and I guess I had seen the movie before, but I sort of had to be reminded of it. John Steinbeck narrated and appeared in only one film. That film was based on the writings of one of his favorite authors. Who was it? And what was the name of the film? John Steinbeck narrated and appeared in one film. That film was based on the writings of one of his favorite authors.
Was it a documentary?
It's not a documentary.
A fictional film, a scripted film.
Yeah.
Is it well known?
Yeah, pretty well known.
And Steinbeck played somebody or was himself?
John Steinbeck played John Steinbeck.
Wow. It's a tough casting.
Yeah. Wait a minute, he played it himself in a movie?
He played himself.
In a fictional movie?
Based on the writings of one of his favorite
he
authors.
He played himself, but he was the narrator of the movie. But the movie was based on the writings of one of his favorite authors.
But he's not in the movie.
Yeah, he's in the movie. He's in the movie.
Playing himself?
Yes. Yes, he introduces the movie and he narrates.
I'm John Steinbeck.
Exactly.
Like,
and he introduces the
Dick Powell Theater.
Is this a writer as famous as he was?
Yes.
Gosh.
So you want to know the writer and the movie part,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, I know he admired Hemingway. So that's my first guess.
No,
okay.
Not Hemingway.
And I think he admired Theodore Dreiser, but I wouldn't think that would be the answer.
That's not it either. So John Steinbeck narrated and appeared in only one film. It's a feature film. It was based on the work of one of his favorite authors.
Was it Sinclair Lewis?
No. I didn't say it was an American either.
No, you didn't.
No.
In other words,
Were they contemporaries? Okay, so they didn't know each other.
No.
Okay.
Not that I'm almost positive they'd never met. Yes.
So did he ever narrate Pride and Prejudice? I'm guessing not.
No. Not his kind of thing. I don't think. So.
It's a long shot.
I think that was Red Button. Did that.
Was this a Russian? A Russian writer?
I'm not saying.
Ah.
Not bad.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, Union City. Hello. Sorry, I wasn't here last week. I was at a birthday dinner.
Well, that's we forgive you.
You should have called in anyway.
Yeah.
I got a couple of questions.
All right.
What comedian has an uncle who's inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
What comedian has an uncle, you said?
Who's inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a very good question, yeah.
Could be anybody.
Well,
do they have the same last name?
No.
Is the guy in the Hall of Fame in with a group or is an individual?
No, he's in a non-performer category.
He's in a non-performer.
Well.
Like a producer or a composer.
Yeah, it's a producer, record producer.
Okay. That's
Jerry Wexler.
Too broad.
No.
Quincy Jones.
No.
Ahmed
Arigan.
You want
to know who the comedian is? You want to try to guess
Sure.
That?
Yeah.
It's Billy Crystal.
Oh, Billy Crystal's.
Norman Gantz.
No, not Norman Grant. It's another
Grant.
Guy.
Gantz.
Norman Grantz.
His
last name does start with a G, though.
Isn't it the guy that founded Commodore Records?
Yes. You know who it is?
But I
don't know his
name.
I can't think of his name.
But I know who you're talking about. But no, I can't think of his name. Sorry.
You know what his name is? You want to give it to him?
Yeah.
Milt Gabler.
Milt Gabler. Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah. He later became a producer for Decca Records.
Right. Okay.
Good
Here's
question.
Here's my second question. For Mads' September 1970 issue, they did a spoof of Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice. What did the original cover and the original movie poster share in common?
All right. And on Mad Magazine, 1970, they did a parody of Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice. What did the cover for that issue and the original movie poster share in common?
The cover for the Mad Magazine parody of Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice and the movie poster for Bob.
Yeah, what
did
they share in common?
What do they have in common?
Oh. Well, they showed all four characters in bed.
Yeah,
that's it. But what are they? That's something else they shared in common.
Well, Alfred E. Newman must be in the middle someplace.
No.
Oh. Really? Alfred
that's
E. Newman?
It.
He didn't make the cover. So something besides them being in bed.
Yeah, it's something to do with a concept.
Yeah. Are they? Is a bed involved? Are they all in bed?
No. It's something to do with the concept of you want to give it to him?
Yeah, go ahead.
They were both done by the same artist.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
Milt Drucker.
Oh. Kelly Freese. Who was it?
It was Jack Rickard.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
I didn't know he worked both sides. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jack who?
Bye-bye.
Drucker.
Oh, Milt Drucker.
Milt Drucker.
So,
you say Jack?
Yeah.
Milt Drucker.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Jerry, you look like you're going to say something.
No, I'm just ready to ask a question whenever you call me.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right. And, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. This is not the same. I'm looking for. Let me start again. I'm sorry.
Do over.
I'm looking at this as kind of a two part. Kind of a joke question, I guess, but it has a real answer. What country is considered, according to a poll, to be the most contented country in the world? That's A. And B, what country, I guess what I was trying to say before is these are not connected. What country smokes the most pot?
They're not the same country?
Not the same
there.
Country, yeah.
Okay. So by polls, when they've asked people your contentment level, you want to know which country says they're the most content.
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
I don't know. I know Denmark always shows up on the list pretty high.
Denmark is the answer.
All right.
The most contented country.
Yeah.
People seem awfully happy there.
They do. And then which country smokes the
most
pot?
Why are they so happy in Denmark? What goes on there?
It's a very peaceful, happy, homogenous society.
Good economy, good health care, good great healthcare. Education, good standard of living.
People leave their bikes outside all night, unlocked, low
amazing,
crime.
Amazing place.
Yes.
Amazing
they're
people.
They all are perfect looking. It works out.
Tall and good looking. Yes.
Okay, so which country the other part smokes is the most what pot? Country smokes the most pot?
Okay.
Recreationally.
I don't know.
Okay.
They didn't break it down like that.
Per capita.
Yeah, per capita. Okay.
How about Holland?
No.
Thinking the same.
Yeah.
Tough one.
Yeah.
And how contented is this country that smokes a lot of pot? Do you have that stat?
I have no idea. I haven't been there.
Yeah, that'd be a good.
Yeah.
It'd be good to see that.
They don't care.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay.
Well, maybe they smoke pot because they're discontented.
Could be.
All right.
You want to give us a hint on the pot? Is it in Europe?
You shouldn't ask Jerry geography questions.
Okay.
You have to think about these things.
It's not in Europe.
Okay. All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Billy from Bertle.
Hi, Billy.
Mary Arden is Shakespeare's mom.
Yes.
Oh, Mary Arden is Shakespeare's mother. Yeah, very good.
Very good.
Wasn't that on last week?
Yeah.
His 400th birthday.
I asked it last week as well. All right. Anyway.
That's where I heard it.
Even,
good.
even more damning.
You appeared with Bob Hope?
Yes.
Was it Edgar Bergen?
That's such a good guess, but it wasn't.
Jimmy Durante?
No.
Oh, okay.
Phil Harris.
Guesses. Not Phil Harris either.
Jack Benny.
The most filmed character?
Yes.
Tarzan.
No.
Joan of Arc?
No.
Mickey Mouse?
No, it's only fictional. Keep that in mind.
Mickey Mouse is fictional.
Not Mickey Mouse.
Come on, I believe in him. Yeah. No, okay. And the country that smokes the most pot is the United States.
No.
Okay. Well, I got one.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Somebody filmed more than Santa Claus.
Yes.
Boy, that's saying a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you hear it, it'll be
as obvious as Santa Claus.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And Laura, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I did a talk this week, believe it or not, on teachers in the movies.
I heard.
You heard the talk? How was it?
It's okay. No, I heard you were going to do it.
And so I looked, and there are 6 teachers portrayed in movies who are either nominated or won Academy Awards.
Oh, good
and
question.
Just to clarify the thing, these are classroom teachers. So this isn't Pygmalion where it's kind of one-on-one
this
or office
60,
hours.
You said, or 6?
There are 6. And it's not incidental. So like in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, he's a college professor. It's not that. You actually see them teaching. It's central to their to their character.
And these are Academy Award?
These are Academy Award winners. 2 won, and 6 have been nominated. So it's a total of 6, 2 of which won.
How about Michael Redgrave in the Browning version, which is a great performance?
Yeah. You know what?
I think he was nominated for that, for Best Actor.
I'm going to put it on the get a half a bell, because there's a chance my list isn't complete.
One of my favorites is Maggie Smith in The Prime of Miss Jean Brody.
That's correct. Give him a bell. That's right. One of the 2 winners.
Yeah. And, of course, Robert Donat for Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Correct. Those are the 2 winners. So Robert Donat and Goodbye, Mr. Chips, and Maggie Smith in The Prime of Miss Jean Brody.
So
we're looking
for
4 nominees.
I'm sorry. This could be supporting or Best Actor?
No, only Best Actor.
Only
Robin Williams in, Dead Poets Society.
Yes, very good. Okay. John Keating in the Dead Poets Society.
Right. Okay.
1989 for that one. So we got 3 of them. We're looking for 3 more.
All right.
Really good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Seed. How are you?
Good.
Is the country with the canvas part is Nigeria?
No, neither one.
Neither one. Okay, so I have a question for you. The largest scientific instrument in the world is the Large Hadrons in CERN, Switzerland.
Right.
It was put out of commission last week because of the action of something.
What?
Actually, I heard it, that. Actually, I heard a news story on
the
that.
The graviton.
Yeah. You know what did it?
Somebody.
A mouse.
The coffee maker got
close. They're close. You were close first.
Oh. I hear from the audience it was a chipmunk running amok.
No.
The squirrel?
No.
Was it an animal?
Running amok.
Was it an animal?
Well, what do you think? What tend to like to chew on wire?
Oh, it was a rat.
A weasel.
A weasel. A beaver.
And European weasel called Martin.
I tell you, Debbie should be here.
Yes, she should.
Yeah, that was her again. Oh, that was Steve in the booth.
So
we should switch put the microphones
question,
there.
The only question I'll ask inside that.
Debbie's in radio. She knows a weasel when she sees it.
Okay. The audience can answer that. You know, we have a city called New York, city called New Orleans or New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We have a city, New. There's actually one town in the United States that has New followed by the name of a Middle Eastern country, not Egypt.
New Cairo.
New something.
Is it New Cairo?
No, it's a new... It's followed by the name of a country, you said.
Oh.
No.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a city in Illinois called Cairo, but that's city Cairo. This actually named after a country in the Middle East. New country.
New Lebanon.
Blank. No?
There is a Lebanon, surprised. But I don't think it's new Lebanon.
It's not new. No, it's an not old Lebanon.
Lebanon,
there
Kansas.
Is a town called Lebanon.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think?
New Egypt.
No.
He said it wasn't that.
Oh, it wasn't Egypt. Okay, yeah,
Egyptus.
You know, I hope, if I leave it without answer, then I think we're frustrated.
All right.
An answer. Yeah, unexpectedly, New Palestine.
Really? Where's that?
Indiana. Yes.
New Palestine, Indiana?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, in Indiana, and they have beautiful, beautiful high school that have a lot of video online. You can watch it. Beautiful music.
I don't think they're going to be voting for Palestine. Ted Cruz on Tuesday.
Say it again?
They're not going to be voting for Ted Cruz there, I have a feeling.
Well... That guy's a joker. I don't think, you know, he's more of a joke as Trump.
All righty. Well, anything else? Is that it?
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, Jerry, I think that you'll enjoy this question, but I'm only going to give you one guess on it. I have a list of the 6 oldest comic strips that are still running. Okay? The 6 oldest comic strips that are still running in newspapers in the United States.
Well, Blondie's one of them, of course.
Blondie is number 6.
So there's five so older that, than
in other
Blondie.
Words, there's five older than Blondie.
What year did Blondie start?
1930.
So are the Katzenjammer kids still on?
That is the oldest. That is still running in about 20 papers in the U.S.
Really?
Yes.
Amazing. And it's still being written, or they're doing grand oldies?
I think it's still being written. I'm not absolutely sure about
what
that.
What year did it start?
1897.
Oh, no.
All right. So we got the first and the last.
Yes. Huh? All right. So you have to get this. Again, these are the six oldest comic strips that are still running in papers in the U.S.
High and Lois.
No.
Finally, Debbie missed one.
High and Lois.
Prince Valiant.
No.
That's good.
All right. You had your guesses.
I only
Jerry's out?
For yeah. now. For now.
I said we have four more to get.
You have four more to go. So the six oldest comic strips that are still running in papers in the United States, the Katzenjammer Kids, somebody got that's number one, or Lori got that, 1897. Blondie, which is number six, started in 1930. What are the four in the middle there?
Wow. All right. Let people guess.
Are they all comic or some of any of them adventure?
No, they're all comic.
Okay.
Yeah. Mary Worth. She's in between.
Rex
comic
Morgan,
and
MD. Yeah. No, really? It's not. Oh,
Steve Canyon. No.
Like Steve Kidd.
Yeah. Mandrake the Magician.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. We are just a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry can't wait to repeat his pot question, I'm sure.
Well, I asked for the two famous moms, Mary Arden and Ann Jarvis, and somebody got Mary Arden, who is Shakespeare's mother.
Right.
And what country Jarvis. Per capita smokes the most pot each year, I should have said.
All right.
I said, okay.
Is that it for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have my White House Correspondents' Dinner, so I'm looking for who co-hosted with Bob Hope in 1944, who was the first female solo host, which was 1992, and one performer who was not a comedian but a regular entertainer. I'll give you a hint. This person's a singer, hosted by his or herself in 1999. And then I asked teachers, people who portrayed teachers in classroom teachers in movies that were nominated for Academy Awards, Robert Donat, Maggie Smith, and Robin Williams. Those are the three we got. We're looking for three others, and their teaching is central to the movie, not incidental.
How old is the oldest one left?
1988.
Oh, well, it's not that old.
Yeah, there's, okay. And Robert Donat is the oldest of them.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Holland's Opus?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good,
who
good
is
job.
The act? Who is the actor?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes.
Does that is that the 88 one?
That's the 95
okay,
one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
very good.
Good job. I like that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I showed that in my I'm going to leave that one out there. Yeah.
All right.
Not in that one.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Oops. Be fine. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yes, the first female host of the Correspondents' Dinner, would that be Joan Rivers?
No, great guess. You'd think she would be.
He said she's still alive.
Yeah. Oh, right, she isn't, yes.
Okay. Regarding the oldest comic, maybe Little Abner?
Remember, the oldest comic strip that's still running. So, no, not Little Abner.
Yeah, I don't read them, so I didn't know. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I didn't repeat my questions here. Let me do that. According to IMDb, the original question was, who are the two most filmed characters, fictional characters of all time? Lori got Santa Claus, which is number two.
Debbie got it.
Debbie got it?
Debbie got that one.
She feeds you all your answers.
Yeah, I know. I get to read her signs.
814, Santa Claus. So we're still looking for number one, who is the most filmed character of all time. Second question. John Steinbeck narrated and appeared in only one film, feature film, I should say, that featured the work. It was based on the work of one of his favorite authors.
I have a guess on Steinbeck.
Okay.
Stephen Crane.
That's a very good guess, but no, it's not Stephen Crane.
John Huston directed, and they directed
The Red Badge of
Courage, and they were friends.
No, I think it's a Russian, because I asked him.
Oh, you got the Russian.
It's a Russian.
It's not a Russian.
It's not a Russian. Oh, okay.
It's not a Russian.
All right. That was a red herring. Anyway, so not Stephen Crane.
It's not Stephen Crane. Either. All right. So, I'm sorry. So, just to repeat that. John Steinbeck narrated and appeared in only one feature film, and that was based on the work of one of his favorite authors. So, what's the name of the film? And who is the author? So, And I have the question about the oldest comic strips that are still running today. There are six on the list. So far we have Katzenjammer Kids, 1897, and Blondie, started in 1930.
How about Gasoline Alley?
Yes.
All right.
Oh,
Gasoline
yes.
Alley is number two. That started in 1918.
I'd love to know the newspapers that are running these. God.
I'd like to know if they're still being written by, like, their great-grandchildren or if they're just running the
classics.
Well,
Blondie's written by the son of the...
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Chick Young, yeah.
The classic
Gasoline Alley. Number...
The best of
and that's,
the Cats and
that was the first
kids.
Strip, if I recall reading this correctly, that allowed the characters to age as they grew up, and then they got the next generation.
So I didn't know any other strips that did. What are some others?
I don't know. I'm sure there were. I'm just saying that was...
Really? And so we're dealing with the great-grandchildren of the Gasoline Alley.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they die in the strip?
That
they
I don't
must.
Know. I never read Gasoline Alley.
Me neither.
I don't read. It was too working class.
When did that start? That started because of the invention of the motor car, I guess, right?
Well, before that.
Yeah, before
that. Debbie's holding up. You're wasting a lot of paper tonight, Debbie. What does that say?
She's got Garfield and Peanuts.
Nope.
Peanuts isn't old enough.
No, Peanuts Garfield's started about 1950.
Yeah, Garfield's
yeah.
new.
These are definitely before 1950. And...
Now you're guessing.
let's see. Is it your turn? I think it's your turn.
Yeah.
Is it your
turn? I don't think so.
No?
Maybe. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. So this is a new subject here. I'm looking for, after, I have the names of six states here, and I'm looking for the most common language spoken in that state after English and Spanish. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the first one's California. So what's the most common language spoken in California, not counting English and Spanish?
Not counting English and Spanish.
Six different states, and it's six different languages. Texas, Michigan, New York, Virginia, and Oregon. So in each case, I'm looking for the third most spoken language in the state of California, Texas, Michigan, New York, Virginia, and Oregon, and there's no repeats.
Is Michigan Islam?
Arabic.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah,
Bell
that
on that one.
Jerry's
Dearborn. Yeah.
So Michigan is Arabic, yes.
Texas. Oh, gosh.
Texas. I got a weird guess. How about Vietnamese?
That's correct.
All right. Because I know a lot of Vietnamese, they're fishing on the Gulf Coast.
So Texas is Vietnamese and Michigan is Arabic. Well,
California would be Chinese.
It's not.
Mandarin or...
It's,
no,
not, it's neither.
Not really?
Yeah.
All right.
Korean.
Not Korean.
Is it an Indo-European language?
No.
All right. Okay.
The studio.
Of course, she knows. It.
The audience is really right. It's wild tonight. The audience.
Right.
New York, Virginia, and Oregon.
And, I don't have my glasses on. What does that say?
I'm not going to read it because that's my question.
Oh,
can you read it?
I can.
All right.
I don't have my glasses. All right.
Debbie's guessing.
It looks like Uganda from here, but no, that's because I don't have my glasses.
I got to hold off.
All right.
Yes.
Would New York be Russian?
No.
Oh, that's a good guess.
That's a very good guess, but it's not.
So we're looking for
California, New York, Virginia, and Oregon. What is the third most spoken language in those states after English and Spanish?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
For comic strips, how about Mutt and Jeff?
No, but these are contemporaries of such.
Okay. And for the most film characters, how about Robin Hood?
That's an excellent guess, but no.
Dracula?
No.
D'Artagnan?
No.
Okay. And a question.
Yes.
Can you give me the five Hollywood films that have the highest grossing, adjusted for inflation, worldwide over the history of film?
Well, it would seem that most of them would be in the last 30 years.
Titanic.
That's one, yes. Number four.
Avatar.
Number two.
One of the Lord of the Rings ones?
No.
Okay. Or what? How about the new Star Wars?
The original Star Wars.
Okay. Is Gone with the Wind the only old one in the list or not?
Well, it depends on how you define old, but that's number one.
That's number one, okay.
All right.
So we're missing one of them, right?
Is there a Disney film there?
Yes.
Like if I
said... Well, actually, in the top ten.
I said it's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
That's number 10, yeah.
Okay. Nice. So of the we have four of the top five? Is that what we have?
Yep.
Okay.
So and we're looking for one that's a little older than those, not as old as Gone with the Wind. From the 60s.
Oh, 60s. Is there a James Bond film?
No.
What's the genre of it?
It's a feel-good movie. Musical.
Midnight Cowboy.
Oh, The Sound of Music.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Yeah. Good job. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. All right. Debbie was kind enough to lend me this book of hers last week. It's about commercials, commercial trivia, basically, as much as I dislike the word. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 6 characters who were spokespeople for a particular product. And I want you to tell me what the product was, okay? But you have to be specific about, like, give me a brand name of the product. So by that I mean, like, Mr. Whipple was the character that represented Charmin. These are all TV commercial characters. All right, number 1, Josephine the Plumber. Number 2, Rosie the Waitress. Number 3, The White Knight. Number 4, Pete the Butcher. It's not a serial killer. Number 5, Sharpie the Parrot. And number 6, The Little Old Winemaker. So again, these are commercial spokespeople or commercial character spokespeople. I want you to tell me the product that they represented on in TV commercials. Number 1, Josephine the Plumber. Number 2, Rosie the Waitress. Number 3, The White Knight. Number 4, Pete the Butcher. Number 5, Sharpie the Parrot. Number 6, The Little Old Winemaker. And I'm looking for a brand name for the products, okay?
Well, Sharpie the Parrot, would that be Sharpie the pens?
No. I mean, you would think that, but no.
Yeah, okay.
It'd be a little obvious. Is The Little Old Winemaker like Swiss Colony wine?
Italian Swiss Colony wine.
Yeah, very
there you
good.
Go.
Yeah,
what?
Boy, I don't know where that came from. Very good. We get another guess each?
I'll give you one more guess.
Is The White Knight Ajax?
Yes, it is. Very good. Ajax laundry detergent.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right. Jerry, you get the rest.
Josephine the Plumber. Is that like a Bounty or something like that?
No.
Okay.
So the ones we have left are Josephine the Plumber, Rosie the Waitress, Pete the Butcher, and Sharpie the Parrot.
Pete the Butcher, I never heard of. Did you?
This sounds like a mafia gang.
Yeah.
What would he be selling, you know? Huh. That's a good question.
All right.
Did you see that the Vegematic guy died this week?
Yeah, I did.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Look, we should all buy a Vegematic as a tribute to him.
The woman who wrote the obit did it as the first part as a pitch.
That's good.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, how about James Olmos in Stand and Deliver?
That is one of them. Very nice. 1988, Edward James Olmos playing a real teacher.
Yes.
For a change. Yeah.
How about Sidney Poitier in Two Sir with Love?
He was not nominated.
Oh.
Yeah. And not deserving, by the way. I watched the movie recently.
Oh, not so good. Okay.
Yeah, not so good.
Well, Lulu had a good song with it, though. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and she's in the movie, and of course the movie ends with her singing that song to him. The tearjerker.
How about Sandy Dennis in Up the Down Staircase?
Not nominated.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. She didn't make it.
Okay. California. Farsi?
Oh, no.
Okay.
We're looking for the third language. Just
New York, French Canadian?
No.
No, that's a good guess.
I got aced on the little old winemaker. Little old winemaker me.
Very that's good.
Right. And Ajax, when he would go and he would zap everything.
He would, and it would turn
white. I got
white.
Zapped. Okay.
Yeah.
God, I think that's all I got. Oh, Virginia, Korean?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh,
third
job.
Most spoken language in Virginia is Korean. Very good.
Old comic strips. Ferdinand?
No.
Henry?
No.
Henry.
Yeah, they had no hair. They went for a haircut.
Yeah.
Good old Henry. Right. Yeah.
How about There Ought to Be a Law?
No.
I remember that one.
Jimmy Hatlow.
Yeah,
the tip of the Hatlow hat.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Does anyone remember The Timid Soul?
Yeah.
One of my favorite comic strips.
I remember.
Casper Milktoast. Mm-hmm. It was a one-panel strip, though, wasn't it?
So is Josephine the Plumber Drano?
No.
Or a plumbing-like product?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good guess. Yeah.
You don't need me. You need
liquid plumber or something like that.
Not it, though, huh?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Is that me?
Yeah, it is you.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is James from The Mission.
Hi, James.
So the fictional character?
Yes.
Two guesses. Moses?
No.
Superman?
No.
He's not thinking.
Many times thought of in the same breath. I
yes.
Batman and Robin?
No.
Although
it's interesting you should make those guesses, because this character has appeared in probably comic books as well. I can almost be positive it's appeared in
the Shadow?
No. It's not strictly a comic book character. So it's I can't. Yeah, it didn't come from a comic book, but it may have appeared in comic books.
How about the the language in California? Hmong?
No.
Oh, that's
it's a good guess.
Oh, the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Yes.
Would that be Bing? And
it was not Bing.
Okay.
You'd think it would be in 1944 with Bob Hope.
Did you hear me say Jack Benny?
I did.
Okay.
At the time I said no, and it's still no.
I wasn't sure. Okay.
Oh, wait, it's right now.
Anything else? I'm sorry.
That's all. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you. Out. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. So we're going to take another call. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
I was wondering if there was a trick to the Steinbeck thing. Is Steinbeck his favorite author?
Ooh.
Oh, no. No, it's not. No.
Okay. Just checking.
That's right. A good thing to check, Thomas.
Yeah,
watch Dana on that one.
No.
Yeah.
Now, I've got some teacher things, but I'm not sure if they qualify.
Okay.
Deborah Carr in King and I?
You see,
she's not really in a classroom.
Yeah, she's not. So
okay.
I'm not going.
What about Irene Dunne in Love Affair? Because it's at the end of the film that she's teaching.
I'm not counting Irene Dunne in
I
Love
like
Affair.
Your point of reference. But,
thank you. I'm defending myself as best I can.
Yeah.
Now, if I don't get this bell, I'm going to be very upset. It's got to be Ingrid Bergman in The Bells of St. Mary's.
See, I didn't count that either, and I didn't count Bing
Crosby.
She is
Crosby. A teacher, then.
No, she really is.
You don't see her in the classroom much,
and,
though.
And was she nominated?
Yeah.
I believe she was.
Give him a bell, because
right.
He was going to be very upset.
Yeah.
Okay. No, she's definitely a teacher.
Okay.
Okay, and I just have two more nuns to throw in the batch, because I never saw Sister Kenny. Was she teaching, Russell and Russell?
No, she's nursing.
Not really.
And what about Loretta Young? Was she teaching and Come to the Table?
No.
I hope
okay,
not.
I got a conciliatory bell. I'm good.
All it's right. A real bell.
Thank you.
It was not a condescending bell.
Okay, bye.
How about Glenn Ford in Blackboard Jungle?
You know what? He should have been nominated, but he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't. Okay.
Yeah, that movie holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Daddy-O.
Yeah. You know, you bring it up, so I'll add one question. What Oscar-nominated director was in the classroom as one of the students in Blackboard Jungle?
One of the very elderly-looking students in that high school.
I have no idea.
You already had a receding hairline. Paul Mazursky.
That's correct.
He's one of the students.
And he directed Ted, Carol, and Ellis, didn't he? So that ties in. That's why I brought that in. Yeah, he's in there.
Right.
Yeah, very good.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, would that be me?
It would be you.
Okay, then how about who could possibly be filmed more than Santa Claus? Is it Death?
Oh.
No, it's not Death.
Oh, Death.
Or Father Time or the Devil, maybe?
It's the Devil.
It's the Devil.
Yes.
The Devil.
Such doesn't that make sense?
Answer. Yes.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Why, what's wrong with that?
Okay.
I don't consider it a
devil and Santa Claus.
You don't?
Not really.
How about the teacher...
It's an idea.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's the devil. Very good.
How about the really skillful teacher in The Village of the Damned?
You know, how that guy didn't get nominated, I don't know, but...
George Sanders.
Yeah. Was it George Sanders?
George Sanders.
Yeah, he did. I don't think he got a nomination for
It wasn't George Sanders. It was... or maybe it was George Sanders.
It would have been... It wasn't George Sanders.
I got one last question.
Well, he's in the movie.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a Leah question. So there's three rhyming phrases.
Oh, dear.
Okay? unhurried labor. This is a definition for a two-word phrase, and they all rhyme. Unhurried labor, mm-hmm. garden tool benefit.
Garden tool benefits?
Benefit?
Yeah, benefit. All benefit right. single, yeah.
Okay.
And digital spasm.
These are too difficult, right?
No, it's not. You have what you have to do is you have to think of.
Jerry gives up very easily.
Yeah, I give up very easily.
You have to think what? What's the hint?
You have to think of one of your compatriots who said goodbye on Friday.
Oh, Joe Hughes.
Close. Your station.
Well, okay. Not Joe Hughes. Our morning guy.
Yeah, Joe Burke.
Joe Burke. I'm sorry, I said Joe Hughes because Joe Hughes used to be the.
Yeah.
So what rhymes with Joe Burke?
Something work. Labor. Something work,
yeah.
Right?
Work.
Unhurried.
What rhymes with work?
Slow work.
Slow work.
Right?
Slow
okay,
work.
Digital spasm.
Quirk.
Oh, that's good. Toe jerk.
Oh, okay.
Garden tool benefit.
Perk. Something with perk?
Garden tool.
Jerk.
Benefit.
Ho perk. Okay. Bye, Joe Burke. We miss Joe Burke. Don't you guys leave the air now.
That's slow work, isn't it?
Okay. Have a good night.
All right. And let's see. Who's it? Do you have a short question, Jerry? It has to be short.
I don't know how short it is, but did I? I don't think so. I was waiting for Lori to get on the show to ask us.
Okay.
What is the only NFL team still playing in its original city under its original name?
Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I think I must have asked
Bear
that.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. Yeah, well, that's my hometown, so I should know
it
that.
Wouldn't have been the Green Bay Packers? They came from another place?
That's a good question.
Okay, what city is the world headquarters? I hope I didn't ask this also. Mm. What city is the world headquarters for the Olympics, bowling, and judo? Same city.
The Olympic headquarters for bowling and judo.
No. The headquarters for the Olympics, bowling and judo.
Akron, Ohio.
No.
Oh, that's
you mean the international headquarters of the Olympic Committee?
International, yeah.
Okay.
For bowling and judo. Or in the same city.
Same city.
It's in the United States?
No,
I think it's in Switzerland.
The bowling?
No, the Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
I think that's in Switzerland, isn't it?
It is. But there's a thing about it being bowling and judo, right? So this isn't the head committee. They have a subcommittee where
it's
bowling
the same
judo,
city for all these. Yeah,
it is.
Well, judo would seem to be Japan.
Yeah, they bowl in Japan.
Yeah, they do.
How about Tokyo?
No.
All right. Okay. Is Japan the right country?
No.
Okay.
Oh, all right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nancy from Berkeley.
Hi, Nancy.
And I think the other teacher movie that was nominated was Peter O'Toole for Goodbye, Mr. Chip.
He was nominated.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
You like the musical version, right? Yeah.
Well, he was
good. It was with Petula Clark.
She was. Yeah. I know. All right. So
okay. And, you know, it's funny when you were talking about Michigan being Arabic. When I was at the university there, it would have been German.
Oh. Interesting.
Lots of German.
That was just like 3 or 4 years ago, right?
1957.
Oh.
Okay. Let me see. The language in California, Japanese?
No.
And, I forgot some of the questions. John Steinbeck, would that have been something with Charles Dickens?
That's a good guess, but no, not that.
And, let's see, there was something else.
It's an American author, I'll give you that.
Oh, Faulkner?
No.
Okay, what were some of the other questions? Oh, the pot country.
The pot country.
Holland?
No.
Okay, I think that's it. So I got one Goodbye, Mr. Chips, right?
You did.
Okay,
and it turns out
you.
There's one more movie left.
Oh, you didn't have that one, did you?
Well, I had it, and then I didn't, and then I had it.
Oh.
He's not shown teaching very much in the movie.
Well, he's a teacher, though.
He's a teacher.
All right.
Yeah, and so I'm going to count it.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's two Mr. Chips.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
That's me.
It is you.
Yeah, Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
The comedian in 44, was that Fred Allen?
It was not.
Oh, that's a good guess. I
it's
like
a
that.
Really good guess.
The third language in California, Tagalog.
It is.
Uh-huh. Makes sense.
Very nice. Very
weird.
Good.
And the country with the most pot, that's got to be Jamaica.
Huh. Jamaica
no.
for the pot.
No.
No. Wow.
No?
Also
no.
a very good guess.
Not
a great guess.
Jamaica. Oh, boy, I really want to know who that is.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
They might have retired Jamaica's number and not even count them.
Maybe. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Country that smoke most pot is either Australia or Iceland.
No.
Neither one?
No.
God. Okay,
no.
I just like to comment. That poor weasel or Martin that stood in the 60,000 cable at CERN was fried to a crisp. 60,000 volts.
Okay.
That'll do it.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
Great image. Stand on.
Thank you. Fried weasel.
Fried weasel.
One fried weasel coming up. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I don't pronounce it.
Hi, you're on.
Let's see. The comet. Is Snuffy Smith still in the comet?
It is. It's Barney Google and Snuffy Smith, or Stuffy Smith. Is it Stuffy or Snuffy?
Snuffy.
Snuffy. Yes, that is one of them. That is started in 1919.
Gee whiz.
Still around.
Still around.
Yeah.
All right.
Good job.
Barney Google of the Google Googly Eyes.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter, right?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Lucas. I was going to say California. Would that be Armenian?
No, it was Tagalog.
Tagalog. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
That's right.
And the 94 correspondents, would that be Whoopi? Whoopi Goldberg?
Such a good guess.
That is a good guess.
It is.
I like that.
But it was not Whoopi.
Ooh, darn. Okay. And Hillary Swank for Freedom Riders?
No, not nominated.
Also a good guess.
Surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
not.
She should have gotten the nomination.
Yeah,
and
Michelle
one.
Pfeiffer for Dangerous Minds could have been nominated, but also was not.
Oh, darn. And then the last comic strip, Dick Tracy.
No.
Darn. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. And, all right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Okay, this is Sparky. I'm going to try to get through my list. Prince Valiant?
No.
Moon Mullins?
No.
Okay, Josephine the Plumber was a spokesperson for Comet.
Comet Cleanser.
Oh, there you go.
Very good.
Rosie the Waitress was Bounty.
Bounty Paper Towels.
Who played her?
Oh, I can picture.
I can't remember.
Nancy
Madge.
Walker.
Nancy Walker.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Bob
good.
Hope and Danny Kaye.
Yes, that's
very
correct.
Good.
Very
we
good.
We are done.
All right,
very nice.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, time to clean up. Jerry, what do we got?
Okay, well, Anna Jarvis was the mother of Mother's Day. She created the concept of Mother's Day.
Really?
1914, yeah.
Okay.
The city's world headquarters for the Olympics, bowling, and judo is Lausanne, Switzerland.
Oh.
So you said Switzerland, that's close.
Yeah.
And the country that everyone's
close.
Waiting
for. That's right.
It's correct.
The country per capita that smokes the most pot each year is New Zealand.
Oh.
Well, that person who called and said Australia was pretty close.
That was
yeah.
Eid. Eid
well,
was it?
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
All right.
Lori?
On the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Bob Hope and Danny Kaye were the first ones. In 1992, Paula Poundstone was the first female comic to do that.
Interesting.
And the only non-comic who was a performer in 1999 who hosted was Aretha Franklin, believe it or not. Yeah, a big surprise. Teacher Academy Awards, we got them all. The one we're missing was Ryan Gosling and Half Nelson playing a meth addicted, but excellent
crack
middle
addicted.
School teacher. Crack addicted.
Crack
thank
addicted.
You.
Yes.
And then the two we're missing for the languages. The third most spoken language in New York is Chinese, and the third most spoken language in Oregon is Russian, believe it or not.
Russian.
Yep.
Oh,
weird. All
right.
List. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay. The oldest comic strip still running, the ones nobody has gotten, Ripley's Believe It or Not, started in 1918, and Thimble Theater / Popeye, which started in 1919.
Wow.
Good for that.
The product spokes characters, let's see, nobody got Pete the Butcher, and that's Shake and Bake. And Sharpie the Parrot is Gillette Blades.
Oh, that's right.
Gillette
Blades. Gillette Blades.
Oh, yeah,
Sharpie
that's right,
the Parrot.
Of course, yeah.
John Steinbeck narrated and appeared in only one film that featured the work of one of his favorite authors. That would be O. Henry. O. Henry's Full House, 1952.
Wow. He was in that?
Yes, he was. He's the narrator. He's, at the very beginning of the film, he's the narrator.
I know
you
that.
You see him in everything.
I didn't
and
see that.
And he's
coming.
In the movie, too,
yes.
You said?
He's in the movie, yes.
As a character?
Thank you very much for listening tonight. Our panel was well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. Thank you. I've been your moderator, Daniel Rodriguez. Our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. Join us next Mother's Day. That's next Sunday. Bye.
If you ain't sure, you might. It's got to be this or that.